As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to Is This Good? The show where we bold it conclusively and scientifically decide what things in this big wide world are good. I'm Matt Austin, and with me, as always, is production powerhouse Jason Doyle.
Hello.
Hi, JD. Thanks for coming today. And our next guest is, I assume, in full summer mode. We're talking no-show socks, patio beers at Halfway Crooks, pool parties with Jared, a daily rewatch of the 1986 BMX classic Rad, a little pulled pork at Woods Chapel, some Al Pastor at El Tesoro, a Miller High Life on the front porch, Luna at his side, and even though there's nothing healthy about it, he probably has a tan. It's J.E. Skeets. Skeets, welcome back to Is This Good?
Yes, thanks for having me. I can say I've done about 4 or 5 of those things you listed. So a few more to go here. Because summer's just started. Off. Summer's just started, really, for the No Dunks crew. Yep. A bunch of other people with kids are like, summer's over.
Yep.
School started. And you're like, what? Not me. It's at the pool.
And you also haven't achieved your summer vacation, your summer trip.
That's right. That usually comes almost, dare I say, fall for me with the September.
That's nice. Tour season starts to die down.
Yeah, weather a
on the
nicer
continent, as we say.
Yeah, that's right.
The heat dome subsides.
Yeah, that's true. I've actually got a wedding coming up in Windsor, Ontario. I'm going to do the old fly to Detroit, rent the car, drive across.
Oh,
can't wait to give that a go.
That hack.
Yeah, and then I'm going to Toronto for a week a little bit later in the summer. And then, yes, the big Italian trip in the fall. So I'm just getting started.
Well, be careful on that flight to Windsor, because from what I heard through the grapevine, you're having a little trouble with flights lately.
Yes, I have been. I'm on a bad run right now when it comes to flights being rerouted because of mechanical issues, me just missing them because of human issues. But I feel like we're going to be able to bounce back. In fact, I'm just getting them out of the way, all of these flight mistakes, now, early, and then I'll be fine here for the rest of the summer.
Okay, so, well, let's talk about that, because I know that you missed your flight from Las Vegas to Atlanta.
Yes.
I haven't heard you talk about it on No Dunks, so A, are you prepared to give an Is This Good exclusive, and B, could you tell us what happened?
Yeah, it's not the greatest story in the world. It was an early flight from Vegas to Atlanta. Get the hell out of Vegas, that type
How
of flight.
How early are we talking?
It was an 8:30 flight. You know, and we've only been there a couple days. I know you're like struggling a little bit at times with, you know, catching up on sleep and your sleep patterns and all that. Not really an excuse at that point, but we had a little too much fun on the Saturday night, I guess it was. And, you know, the night turned into the early morning. The tables were hot though. Here's the thing. The tables were very kind to me. My greatest night ever at the Vegas blackjack table. So that played a part in it. And so that's the good part of the story. Obviously, the bad part is I was out a little too late. I got back to my room, Matt, and I did the whole thing. I was already packed. Obviously, knew I had an early flight. I had done all that, done all my work. And I was like, couple hours, talking like 2 or 3 hours here until I would have to, like, in theory, get up and head to the airport. And I did the whole, like, do I risk it?
I knew it.
Seriously,
this is what I was thinking it.
I was like, do I risk it? I know it's a bit risky, but I could get 2 or 3 hours here. I'm ready to go. I'll just set the alarm. I'll bounce up, meet the guys in the lobby, and off we all go to the airport early in the morning. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. But even I was like, oh, maybe I should just stay up and go get a coffee or whatever. Head to the airport early, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And I obviously should have done that. I don't know still what happened with my alarm. It was set, and I think in my grogginess state, I think I did the old, like, reach over and turn it off. Maybe thinking I snoozed. I truly don't remember that, but I feel like that's must have what happened. Anyway, I woke up, and it was like, flight was gone. And it was like, well, okay, now what? And then the worst part was, Matt, that everybody was trying to get out of Vegas that day.
Yeah.
To at least fly back to Atlanta. So I'm looking at the next available flight. It doesn't show until the red eye that night. Ooh. So Sunday morning, 8:30 flight. Now we're talking like 10:30 at night. I book it immediately because I'm like, well, that's the next available one. And then I'm like, well, what do I do now? Do I go to the airport, play the standby game, try and get on something? Or do I just, like, I guess, take advantage of another day in Vegas? I ultimately decided to go to the airport, and I was...
Take advantage of another day in Vegas as if, like, you had still something.
At least, like, sit by a pool or meet up with somebody or do something. Like, I should have, because I was at the airport all day long.
So you got on the flight that you scheduled.
I got on the one that was the red eye, but I went 0-for-4, I believe, on standby. Oof. And it was getting worse and worse. The first one, at like 10:30 in the morning, I was like the third person on the standby list. I was like, okay, maybe, maybe. People are probably doing what I'm doing, missing their flights, whatever. Nope, don't get on that. And as the day went on, it got worse and worse. Like, I was just getting bumped down the standby list. By the last one, at like, let's say 6:30 in the afternoon, I was like 18th on the standby list. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm just getting on this red eye. So, yeah. But then I was terrified of sitting down in the airport, like later
you
at night.
Asleep.
Because I was afraid I was going to fall asleep. So I did this weird thing. Well, not weird. I walked the entire terminal. I just refused to sit down, because when I would sit down, I would start to doze off. I mean, I was exhausted and I'd been in an airport all day, and I was like, there's no way I can miss another flight. And so I just kept walking, and people must have, I looked like the crazy person. Like, I really did. I was, you know, I just put the AirPods in and was just muttering to myself and stumbling around, walking around. But yeah, that's,
you went to Tom Hanks terminal mode.
I really did. And the Vegas airport,
it's not a good airport. It's very small. It's brutal.
Yeah.
So when you're there, like, let's say the night before, I assume you're out till what, 3:30?
Yeah, it was like maybe 4. Yeah, it was late.
Okay, so you didn't have anyone with you that you were like, you were like, hey, Tass or whoever, let's keep going here so I don't have to go to sleep.
Well, that's the weird part. We all just sort of went back to obviously our rooms at some point. JD was long gone, but for most of us, yeah, definitely Tass.
JD was gone because he was too drunk the night before at the fan meetup. Yeah. What was that the same night?
That was the same night.
That's the same night.
So you passed out well earlier.
It was a long day, a long, you know, evening, and then a long night, and then morning. We all went back, and it was just like, okay, see you in a couple hours, like sort of see you in the lobby type thing. And and I shouldn't have. I should have stayed up. Tables were hot. Should have kept going.
Should have kept going. Yeah. Well, then the tables would have got cold. But can you square the circle for me on something? Did you notice how drunk JD was at the agent dinner after the meetup? Because on this show, I don't remember. I guess it was last Great Beyond JD.
Yeah.
We talked about, maybe not everyone heard this then, because it was Patreon only.
Yeah.
But basically, the No Dunks guys had a meetup in Las Vegas, co-sponsored with The Athletic. So a lot of fans came, and then a lot of fans were buying you guys drinks.
Yep.
Talking from JD's perspective, people were buying him beers, and people were like, hey, man, you want to do some shots? Suddenly, JD decided gin would be a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, see, I didn't know all this. Okay.
Then after drinking at that event, he goes to the restaurant where you're meeting with your agent.
Yeah.
Maybe gets a drink there to start.
Sure. He's
pulling on it, realizes I'm way too drunk, and just leaves without telling anyone before the food has hit the table.
Yeah.
Right after we ordered, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to know if you noticed.
I noticed him leaving. JD's a pretty good drunk, in the best way to put it. Yeah. Like, you're not a sloppy drinker, but we had obviously I had noticed, because I was getting drinks at this athletic meet and greet too, and we had a couple of beer drinks, pool drinks during the day too. Mm-hmm. And again, it was like the last day and all the work's done. But no, I didn't like see him like, yeah, stumbling around. The part I remember is like, why do we have so much food? And I couldn't figure out, like, we didn't go crazy. We didn't go ham on this order, but JD was gone at this point. Right. So we were down a man. Mm. And I just remember, like, trying to force feed myself. The food was phenomenal. We're at Best Friend in Vegas. Highly recommend it to everyone. And I just remember, like, why do we have this much food? It didn't make sense. After piecing it together, because he was gone. That was why. It was a big reason why. But no, I didn't see crazy.
No, I wasn't crazy JD. I wasn't sloppy, but I could feel myself on the verge of becoming belligerent, which happens when I drink gin. So I was like, I don't want to fight my agent.
You can't spell
tonight,
belligerent without gin. Maybe you can. It's hard to say.
I didn't know you went to the gin side.
Yeah. Well, one of the fans was like, I was getting bombarded with Guinness, which is always appreciated, always awesome. But it was just like, I can't hold this much liquid in my body. So somebody said, hey, can I get you a drink? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Gin. I've every 6 months or so, I go, you know what? I could really go for a gin. I love gin and tonic. It's like one of my favorite cocktails. And it was at least a triple this guy handed me. And then I had another one. And then we had Negronis at the bar in between dinner, and which has gin in it. And I was just like, oh, yeah, cannot drink gin.
It was the classic, Vegas black hole of not knowing the time.
Right.
All this stuff, even when I'm talking it out with you right now, felt like it was much, much later than
totally.
It was. But, like, the meet and greet
early. It was
early.
At 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. And then, dinner was, like, a reasonable, like, 8 o'clock type thing. And it was, like, that was the weird part. Vegas, man. It'll get you.
Yeah, JD is a good inconspicuous drunk, let's say.
Because
last time we had a live stream hangout, actually, and I'm about to announce when the next one is, JD texted me after and said, sorry, man. I said, why? What happened? He said, I went out today. I didn't really realize I had a couple beers, and I had another drink as the thing was going on. I was so drunk. I'm sorry. I was like, oh, I had no idea. I thought you were just not saying anything, which is also a thing. That do you not say anything, JD, so that when you're really drunk, you can just be quiet and no one will think that it's different than regular?
That's my general strategy for life, is just don't talk and people won't know how stupid you are. You know what I mean?
And then you wait till you have one trenchant thing to say and everyone's like, that guy doesn't talk till he knows what he wants to say.
That's exactly
very
right.
Smart.
The final part of you leaving the dinner, all I do remember is Tass yelling at some point, and I still can't remember if it was you actually leaving the table or him finding out through text or whatever.
Yeah,
later. I just remember Tass yelling, come back! Come back to the table! At you again. You must have been...
I was long gone by then.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was through the text or something. He was sharing it.
Well, whether through anger, drunkenness, or diarrhea, we can never have a dinner in Vegas where someone doesn't leave.
Someone's
got to
leave. Someone has to get up and leave before any real food is consumed. Yeah.
All right, some quick housekeeping. Big news. It's the summer of dunks. What does that mean? Well, it basically means that we're going to have a No Dunks member on every week on Is This Good, because it's the summer and they're not doing much. And we're also going to be simulcasting the show. It'll be in our Is This Good feed. It'll also be in their No Dunks feed, just so the No Dunks crowd can sample the wares. And then at the end of the summer, when preseason starts, or when, I don't know, we haven't figured out a date. Who cares? But towards the start of the next season, it'll go back to only being in the Is This Good feed. So listen to it wherever you want. Don't send me an email saying, where should I listen to it? I don't care. Unless you listen to both. But just listening, recommending, that'll be great. But we're excited to have a No Dunks fella on this summer. And as I mentioned earlier, join the Is This Good Patreon, patreon.com/isthisgood. The monthly live stream hangout is this Thursday, July 27th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. If you want to sign up for a free trial in the great or goat category, you can come. You can sample those wares. You can sample our live stream wares.
I promise I'll talk more. Wares.
JD, just promise to get drunk and you'll get tons of people to sign up. Or Matty O, that's what you should promise. You should say, this coming Patreon hangout, I will be shit-faced. Sign up.
JD should promise the regular level of drunkenness, but actually talk.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, it's in my defense, there's a lot of chatter going on. It's it's, you know, the pee hounds are there to chat amongst each other themselves, you know? It's like
there's a lot of free form conversation. We're not directing it.
Yeah, that's exactly the point of it.
But you can't. That's how casual and natural it is.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of friends hanging out. Yeah. Brady Bunch style.
And can I say for all these hopefully or maybe new podcast listeners here in the No Dunks feed, catching a little Is This Good here, go subscribe to Is This Good on YouTube and wherever the podcast feeds are or that you use, Apple, Spotify, whatever. But also go back and listen to the non-No Dunky episodes. Because you're on fire, or you had been at least until me, with the guests. Celebrity Hot Tub, incredible ep.
So good.
Kelly Dwyer, I laughed out loud about 100 times, especially when the guitar made an appearance.
Very funny. So emotional support guitar.
You're on a roll. So, like, I mean, go back. Get in that old catalog and fire those up.
That's right. That's right. If you are a No Dunks person listening to this No Dunks feed, you have hours of summer entertainment.
That's right.
Sit on your porch and listen to some Is This Good. And buy some merch, because they're short sleeve shirts. You can wear them in the summer. There's hoodies. You can wear that inside when it gets cold. It's cold because the air conditioning. You go see the new Mission Impossible and you're cold. Oh. You wear the Is This Good hoodie.
Did you
or
go
buy
see
the
it?
No Dunks hoodie. Did you know, go see buy it? Some merch.
Did you see Mission Impossible?
No, I'm going to go this week, though. Very excited.
Okay, great.
Very excited.
And then do you have plans for Barbie and Oppenheimer?
Barbie couldn't give a shit. Probably will see it. Why, you're excited to see Barbie?
I'm surprised you're not, I guess, is what's fascinating.
Well, why do you say that?
Because, like, it's like the most buzzed, like, talked about, anticipated movie of the summer, basically. And you have to be in the zeitgeist. You have to know what the people are thinking and saying. You have to form your own opinions. So, yes, I'm shocked that you don't want to go see Barbie.
I don't get excited, but, like, I mean, the hottest thing right now is, like, Taylor Swift's tour. It's not like I'm going to that.
Okay.
Because I don't have $12,000.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I think...
I'm going to use all my mold payout money to buy tickets to the Taylor Swift concert. all right. Send topics for future show to isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Subscribe on YouTube. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Skeets, the premise of the show is very simple. Especially for you, because you've been on it.
Yeah.
I should go back and figure out how many times you've been
this
on
it. This has got to be 5, I think.
Oh, for sure.
Get you a jacket or something.
That's right. I think I made that joke last time I was on the Tom
And
Hanks
you have to be the most frequent No Dunky on this podcast, I would say.
Besides JD, yes.
Yeah, that's true.
JD doesn't count. JD's just this good guy who freelances on No Dunks.
Yes, and absolutely from the No Dunks crew, I've been on this show the most. So I know how it works, man. Jesus.
You know how it works. Here we go. Tim J asks, company outings, are they good? And he continues, are company outings good? By this, I mean outings that are organized by your office and presented as an opportunity for staff to bond. For example, my work has gone bowling and soon will be going on a harbor cruise. To me, the downside is forced social interaction, the anxiety this causes leading up to the event, the cringe of coworkers letting loose, and in this specific instance, coworker karaoke. The upside is that you're not working and get treated to a well-organized event with food, drinks, and the opportunity to make friends with coworkers. I see both sides and can't quite decide, so I leave it to you. Thank you, Tim J. So, Skeets, what say you on company outings?
It's a great email from Tim, right? Like, he really presents both sides of this issue, of this question. It's like the pros and cons, and all of it added up to me. It's like, yeah, it can be fun, especially if you're not working. I think that's a key part here. These company outings, they better be happening during company time.
Mm.
Don't pull the weekend getaway, for crying out loud, or even like the meet up at night for bowling or something like that. Like
the WeWork summer camp.
Because the one positive is, oh man, we're bowling right now. We were supposed to be in an office working away, but we're drinking some beers and hitting some pins.
Well, hold on, Skeets. So then what about a Christmas party? That's not taking place. And I mean, are the Christmas parties. It's like the potluck lunch or the 4 p.m. beer cart. But what about the one that's like the 7 p.m. in a bar, in a club.
Yeah, I guess you could make the case that those ones off of company time, like at night, nobody really wants the weekend, but let's say at night, you do bond maybe more, I think, because you're sort of like, you're not at work for one thing, if you were doing a potluck or something like that. So you're seeing people out of maybe their work element and in a different light. Which can be good or bad.
Yeah.
And that's what Tim's saying. It's like, you might like somebody at work, and then you could go, I guess, bowling with them or karaokeing with them and hate them or dislike them, right?
Right.
I mean,
I had no idea Pam was so competitive.
Sure, sure. I'm torn on this one, man. I'm torn. I'm honestly torn on this one.
Okay, but let's say it is a thing where you're going out and it involves drinking, which most of these do.
Sure.
Like, first of all, let me jump in and say the Harbor Cruise that Tim is about to go on, that one kind of sucks because let's just say it's during office hours. You can't get off
the
cruise.
You're stuck. At least you go to a restaurant, you go to a whatever bowling alley, you in theory could leave at your own.
Yeah,
board.
You're right. Yeah. Like, got to pick up the kids, yes. Or you just do a JD in Vegas, walk away from the right. table drunkenly.
Do you think JD would jump off a boat and just swim away? You're a good swimmer.
Yeah, I could. I would, maybe.
Yeah, I do think that if it involves alcohol, it is fun. As long as you're not the person that gets the drunkest out of everyone. Yes. Because unfortunately, it is true that if you get really drunk and do something stupid, people will talk about it forever.
Yeah.
They will never forget it. There's people at every place we've worked at together that have done something dumb, drunkenly at an event. And to this day, I could say it to you right now and you would laugh. Like if I said... sliding into second, you know what I was talking about.
Yes.
And that was a guy that got really drunk and on the way back just kept sliding on a marble floor saying he was sliding into second.
Very funny, though. Made me like him
very
more.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny. But I will say it's not like anyone went up to him and said, hey, man, it was so funny when you were so drunk sliding through that marble hotel lobby. I should say, like, you know, there's, like, those little diamonds in the marble, those little patterns. That's what he was sliding into.
Yeah.
But no one was telling him, like, man, you were the life of the party that night.
No.
It was just when he'd walk by, he'd be like, oh, yeah, that's the guy that got
well, you are leaving out the part where he got really emotional and messy as well. That was the damper on the sliding into second.
Yeah. It went from being really silly and fun and like, man, this guy's having a blast to like, whoa, dude, it's getting super heavy here, man. I don't know you that well.
When we were in Vegas, there was another person that we used to have to take these people movers, you know, these movators. What do you call those? It's like...
walking sidewalk?
It's like a treadmill.
Sidewalk
thing? Yeah, everybody knows what you're talking
about. Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Moving sidewalk.
Yeah.
And we were just on the moving sidewalk, and that person was just slumped over, passed out on a bench on the other side. It's like, just like slowly rolling by, and he's just passed out. Or if you hook up, like messily hook up at a Christmas party, whatever kind of work party.
Mm-hmm.
Because... even if that happened 5 years before I started working there and someone starts telling me that story, guess what? I want to hear it every time. I don't want to say, you know what? Let's respect their privacy. That happened long ago. No, I mean, like, just tell me everything, every dirty, disgusting detail. I want to know.
Right.
Now, I, as a sophisticated person, I'm not going to really judge people for doing that.
Right.
Right.
Heck, sometimes I wish it was me. But if you think like, oh, I'm hungover this morning. I wonder if I did anything weird last night. Probably not. People are so busy with their day-to-day lives. They never spend time thinking about me and the crazy thing I did last night. We do.
Yeah.
So that's the danger. That's the danger you have to know going into it. JD, have you ever enjoyed a company outing? Have you ever gone on a company outing?
An actual outing? Yeah, tons.
Well, I'm thinking about, like, I know at Turner, for instance, 1 year they took us to Topgolf.
Yeah.
And you definitely were not there.
I skipped that one for sure. But I've been to many an outing, more in my restaurant years, you know, paintball. that kind of thing.
Yeah, but you're already sloppy and drunk as a server in that environment. You know what I mean? Like, you're always partying with those people anyways. It's not like you're at a button-down corporate job where you'd be letting loose.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I guess the answer is no, other than, you know, work trips to Vegas where all these messy things can happen anyways. Mm-hmm.
Your coworkers don't give a shit that you got so drunk you missed an important meeting.
That's right.
It's every man for himself in Vegas, we've learned.
Totally.
You're not dragging me down. Cut bait.
What do you think the people said, Skeets? Good or not good?
I think it's going to be close because, like, I'm still deciding. I guess I'm almost leaning... I'm leaning towards good.
I think they're good.
I am.
They're good.
You know, of course, like... All these, like, fun, like, what we're forgetting is, yes, there may be, unfortunately, there's going to be person X who was the sloppy drunk, who did something they shouldn't, who said something offensive, and that's bad for them. But it is a weird bonding thing for everybody else, and that's what you were saying, Matt. It's like, 100%. Oh, my God, and that, like, now that's always a thing for us. So that's fun. Unfortunately for that other person, it's not. But I'm ultimately team good, and I think it's going to be... you know, ballpark 60-40, let's call it, for good.
Oh, you're right on the money. 60.4%.
Wow. Holy.
So, yeah.
There you go.
Normally, I just ran down. So, you're right on the button. 60% of people say company outings are good. But you do bring up a good point there, because is the bonding the harbor cruise, or is the bonding the next day when you're talking about how crazy that one guy was? And is that any... different, really, than the bonding everyone does about the office asshole behind the office asshole's back.
It's new material.
Yeah, right? It's new material. You know, it's like, and you always need material in an office.
New location, yeah. And generally, the reason it's going to be such a talking point is if someone's surprising. It's like, wow, didn't know they had it in them.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially karaoke. People let loose.
Oh, yeah.
They go crazy. It'll be great.
Yeah.
All right, Colin S. asks, making bets that greatly alter someone's appearance for a long period of time. Is this good? So Colin gives some examples. Shaving a lush beard. I like he said lush beard.
Lush.
I assume, JD, your beard qualifies as lush, wouldn't
you
say?
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Buzzing someone's hair, shaving off an eyebrow, etc. So Skeets, this one jumped out at me to ask you, because obviously you fought the pick and payoff wars. You've been through it. You know, when... on your show, our show, Basketball Jones Starters, when someone would lose a month of pick'em bets, they would have to do something embarrassing. And some of them would involve doing things that alter your appearance. Mm-hmm. And to my mind, you were always willing. You were like, hurt me. You were literally begging us to put a shock collar on you and electrocute yourself.
Yeah.
But if we said, like, could we shave your head? You'd be like, oh, well, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. I mean, I've told this story before, at least on No Dunks. Like, my buddy Brody in high school shaved my head with, like, a beard trimmer once. And I have, like, the grossest...
Like, while you were sleeping, you mean?
No. Like, I asked him to. It was, like, you know, a basketball thing. It's like, oh, let's try this out. I had long hair and, for whatever reason, thought it'd be a good idea. And I just have, like, the ugliest shaved head. Like, I have moles up there. My head looks even smaller than it is. Like, it was bad. It was like, I was like, never again. I hope to God I don't lose my hair, because I am never shaving my head ever again. So that's a big part of that part. But, like, the reason I'd rather get, like, locked in a box, or, you know, the dog shock collar, or, yeah, run 10 miles while doing the show. It's like, it's over. It's done.
Right.
And...
there's no scars.
Hopefully not. Yeah, but it's 30 minutes of punishment or whatever, and then I can move on. But, like, the shaving an eyebrow or whatever, like, that's now I have that for weeks, and I've got to tell people about it, and, you know, and or I'm like that conscious about it. I don't even want to go out and see people. So that's why. Now, all that to say, I think this is good. Because these are real stakes.
Yeah.
We're talking bets here. That's a damn bet. That's one I'm obviously proving that I don't want to make half the time. But that's a good bet. Like, oh, we'll take your eyebrow off, or shave your head, whatever. Shave your beard. Whew. That's good.
How much money would you stake against that bet? You know, in other words, like I say, okay, if I lose, I have to shave off an eyebrow.
Okay.
And if you lose, you shave off your eyebrow. And you go, Matt... I am into this bet. I like you being willing to shave your eyebrow,
right.
But there's no way I'm doing that.
Right.
So how much money do you think you got to put up against an eyebrow shave?
Right. So you're like an eyebrow. Well, beard, no problem.
Like, beard, would you shave your current beard?
Yeah. Yeah. For the right bet, for something funny.
Okay.
And, you know, if your beard's on the line or whatever.
You wouldn't be happy about it.
I wouldn't be happy about it. No. But a beard, I don't know. That, like, I lived basically my entire life without a beard until, you know, last 5 years or whatever.
Right.
So that's not that big a deal to me. But the head, oh, man, we're talking, like, it has to be, like, 50K.
Wow.
Like, I don't want to shave my head. I'm not, I told you, I'm not doing it.
What the fuck is under
there?
You
know what's
interesting?
Is it
fucking Jimmy Hoffa?
What's interesting is I do wear hats a lot more than I used to. So, I mean, that's the workaround.
Yeah.
But it's not really, though, because it is weird to wear a hat when the sides of the hat are, like, nothing there. It looks really weird.
That's a good point.
You'd almost have to wear a toque.
Yeah. and an eyebrow, that's much, much more affordable. You know, I think I could be talked into a fun bet. $500?
Oh my, okay. Am I crazy? I think it's the reverse.
I think the reverse.
An eyebrow has to be way more expensive because that takes way longer to grow back and you look crazy and you can't
cover
it up.
How long does it take to grow back?
It way longer than you think.
Oh, okay.
Way longer.
Oh, that's not good.
We shaved a guy's eyebrow while he was passed out one time and it was one of the biggest regrets. I didn't actually do it.
Oh, that's brutal.
I was a bystander and I was completely neutral. I didn't try to
stop banality
it.
Of evil, JD.
I know. It was one of my greatest regrets because this guy, he looked ridiculous for weeks, like weeks and weeks.
Did he take off the second one?
No, he left. Yeah. He left the other
honestly,
one.
Honestly, that's the move, right?
I
you
think
take off
the
second
move.
One, you paint them on.
I don't think so because, well, the day one, he woke up, he was like, oh, God damn it. And he tried to. He
not again. You
literally, like Sharpie, almost like tried to draw it back on, and it was just. It looked ridiculous. I mean, maybe if you had like a makeup artist in your life who you could visit every day, but I don't know. It was just. It turned out that it was just like one side of him looked normal, and the other side looked like Bob Geldof in The Wall. What a reference, but but it's just like people look kind of weird.
Yes.
You know, so especially when you're used to looking at them with eyebrows. Yeah. So, yeah.
So you think it would cost a lot more?
I shave my head in a heartbeat. I'm half bald anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So
yeah,
my beard is another thing.
Ooh,
I think it's
that's
around
your identity.
It's around 10K for that.
Wow.
I would say.
I just Google it, by the way, 3 to 4 months.
Whoa!
Yeah, eyebrow.
Yeah,
that's a deep bet. That's like a quarter of a year.
Okay, that bet's going too long. Yeah, wow, I wouldn't have thought that. I feel like my hair. I don't know. I have bushy eyebrows, so yeah, and maybe it would. I'm not doing it.
probably one of the funniest I have. Oh, sorry, the hardest I've ever laughed in the starter's office, and we laughed a lot. You know, just six dudes sitting around a table all day. You get a bit loopy.
Yeah,
was you know Lee. Ellis, when he would lose the pick'em, you had to make him do something. And for instance, like one time we made him wear a wetsuit and that's all he had to do. Wear a wetsuit and on a green screen, pretend he was swimming during the show was more cute than a punishment.
Yep.
He hated it. Could not stop talking about how we were like doing him dirty and this jumpsuit smelled and it wasn't comfortable. Then there was another one where we're like, all right, you got to eat a bite of like a fried chicken sandwich and then you're going to spin a wheel in the next couple minutes. You might have to have a nugget.
Yep.
And he freaked out. He was like, I can't believe you're doing this to me. This is completely unfair. And then a third time we were like trying to come up with something. We had done so many things to you. We're like, almost as a joke, like someone said, oh, what about like shaving something into your head? He was like, all right.
No problem.
And we were like, what? So you don't care. We could shave something into the back of your head. You won't know what it is. Yeah, I don't care. And I fell on the ground laughing because I was like, and he got angry. I mean, Lee would never get angry like when we were laughing, you know, at him. But he was like, what's so funny? What do you mean what's so funny? You wouldn't wear a wetsuit, but you don't give a shit if we shave something into the back of your head and you have no idea what we're shaving there? What a fascinating man.
Oh,
but
and then anyways, what we shaved there was incredible.
We shaved His face.
It was supposed to be his face.
But it was the worst.
It was the worst.
Worst. What do you call that even? Hair
etching?
Art?
Yeah. An etching. Yeah, that's etching. A good word for it.
And it was so bad that it was so funny. And
yes,
yeah,
it was
he didn't care.
Funny.
He didn't seem to care.
He didn't care.
He just buzzed it down, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That was a good solution.
Yeah.
But 54% of people say making bets that greatly alter someone's appearance is not good.
Not good. So, okay, that's another close one.
Very close.
Yeah.
Very close. I think it's one of these things that's good to see other people make a bet that relies on shaving an eyebrow, but not good to be one of those people in that bet.
Well, people love just facial hair comedy, too. Like, I did have a beard for a while, and then was going to take it off, I think maybe for, I believe it was a funeral or something like that. I took it off, but it's before taking it completely off, I left the mustache.
Yeah.
And
classic gag.
Classic gag.
I look like Ned Flanders.
Exactly. And I have a great bushy mustache. I can't grow a beard to save my life. I'm patchy as hell, but that part right there, below the nose, above the lip. Whew. And it was, people loved it.
Yeah.
People just get a kick out of it.
You know how much money we've raised for prostate cancer because people love facial hair comedy?
It's true. That's right. Yeah, Movember.
I mean, Movember is just worse. I mean, God, I feel bad saying this for the Movember people and people researching prostate cancer, but that concept is so fucked out. And it's sorry, it's not funny when you shave a little curly Q mustache on yourself anymore. I'm sorry. It's not funny. Right. And especially not funny now that people just have a beard and they're shaving a mustache.
Yeah,
right.
Grow a mustache.
I think it used to be grow the mustache. I think it has changed.
And we're going
to
raise less money for prostate cancer, but we're going to be doing it the correct way.
Because, and that's a good point, because me and just taking off the beard, having a pretty damn, I mean, cool looking mustache still looks hilarious. But that's one thing, taking it all off and then trying to grow in the mustache. Like, you're going to look like a creep for a while as that thing comes in. So, yeah, it's more of a punishment, I guess.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But, man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Skeet Swap. As you know, not everyone's going to agree with everything you have to say, but sometimes when you believe something deeply to your core, you have to stand alone on the edge of consensus. It's time for Unpopular Opinions. These topics are from the Unpopular Opinions subreddit, but if you have strongly held beliefs that most people disagree with, email them to me at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. So, Skeets, this is via my dog, George, who says, bringing Tupperware to restaurants should be normalized. And I read this unpopular opinion and it reminded me, I was like, I swear I've received an email to the Is This Good email account about this. So I went back and found it. So I'm going to read you what someone wrote to me.
Okay.
Hi, Mattio. Bringing your own containers for leftover food to restaurants. Is this good? I've never done this, but I know a guy who brings his own Tupperware. A lot of takeout containers are number 5 plastic, which some places don't recycle. You can also ensure the quality of the container, since some restaurants use substandard receptacles, or they have those lids that don't fit right sometimes, and that's big trouble if you have leftover soup. On the other hand, you have to carry your own item to the restaurant, and it's one more thing to remember, but a decade ago, bringing your own bag to places seemed radical, and now many people carry totes or reusable bags. The closest I've gotten is keeping containers at my office, so when there's leftover pizza or sandwiches or cake, I can bring it home. What do you guys think? Cheers. That's David in New Jersey. So I would say this is an actual unpopular opinion, because I would say you would be unpopular in your group of friends if at the end of the meal you pulled out the Tupperware.
Yeah.
But I think there's something to this.
I agree. There is something to it. But my biggest issue with this is I don't want to carry anything on me at any time.
Mm.
I barely want to have my wallet on me. I barely want to have my keys on me. I don't like things. So I can't imagine going out to a restaurant and having to bring a bunch of Tupperware, I guess in a bag or just under my arm, and like, asking the maitre d', can you like put this in a closet for me or something like that? I might need it at the end of the meal. We'll see how delicious
that's
it
a good
is.
Idea. Restaurants are having little cubby holes for you to put your Tupperware in.
Right. It's like grade school or something. So I just don't like I get it. I like trying to eliminate the waste of some of these that you probably can't recycle, that they are putting it in when they give it to you to take home. All for that, but I just don't want to bring anything. So that's why.
Do you take bags to the grocery store?
I do, and that's a great counter, but they also start charging you for bags, right?
So that's what he's saying. Well, he didn't say that, but
what if that... If that was common practice, okay, I finished my meal, there's tons left, can you, wrap it up, box it up so I can take it? And they go, yeah, we can. It's going to cost you $5, though. Then probably a lot more people would start showing up with Tupperware, if that was the case. And maybe we'll get there. Maybe we will. Maybe we should.
But, well, right now, if a restaurant was charging for me to take home my leftover food that would otherwise go in the garbage, I mean, I would riot on top of all the other BS the restaurants are pulling right now.
I understand.
I know it's a very tough industry. I'm very sorry. We respect the hardworking men and women of the restaurant community. But especially in Los Angeles, they're doing some shady things.
Mm.
John and Vinny's, look it up. Okay, moving on. What I wanted to say is, have you noticed how much they're slipping on doggy bags right now? Like, if you ask for any of your food to go, like, let's say you got a big old slice of lasagna, you want to take half of it home. They're bringing you the box now.
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
They're having you do it.
That never used to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you're scooping the lasagna and the sauce into the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, until maybe 5 to 10 years ago, I'd say I'd never seen that happen once. And now it happens at even nice restaurants, which is crazy to me. It usually used to be, yes, sir. Yes, sir, 14-year-old me. We'll take that to the back and we'll bring it back. And they would bring it in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you were in Canada back then. I think that's what it is.
But America is known for better customer service.
I know, but not in that department. Like, I remember coming down here and asking for a box for something, and then, or asking them to pack it up for us, and then they just like threw a box at us.
Yeah, they say you do it.
Well, they didn't.
Even
was just
in 2013,
like,
when you moved to America, that's what happened.
Yeah.
I'm going to say not before 2015.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Well, I just went to a very nice restaurant here in Atlanta to celebrate Nora's birthday not too long ago. Marcel's. Great place. Restaurant.
But see, that's not a summertime restaurant. Shouldn't have mentioned it off the top.
No, I know. But they did it.
They did it for
I
you.
I think they're one of like the few places remaining in the city. Now, you're paying a pretty penny to eat there, but... Yeah. There's a lot left over, and they took it all back and boxed it all up, did the whole labeling. I mean, they went next level.
Yeah, I love that service. The next level. Yeah. They almost present it. You know, you open it up, and it's like, oh, my God. They put
pasta like, damn, I should go to this restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I've certainly done the opposite of bringing Tupperware to restaurants, which is using the restaurant's receptacles as Tupperware. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, you get that same lasagna... And granted, you're putting it in there yourself, but it's in that nice plastic with the clear top, black bottom, clear top.
Oh, those ones, yeah. Right. That's,
you know what I mean?
Nice. Yes,
I'm washing that and using that again
totally.
And again.
Yes, that's a good point. good point.
It's a nice hack to not have to buy your own Tupperware. Reuse.
I think what maybe your emailer was talking about, like the poor receptacle, is that crappy sort of styrofoam one. Like that's brutal.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of that.
It's hard to find styrofoam though anymore.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
What? Like what? Like you go get wings. What's that coming in?
Mm.
That's coming in like a it's like a next age styrofoam.
Paper box that has like the sealant on the inside.
I guess they are. Right. Yeah, they get all leaky though if you get too much sauce and stuff. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, or like the classic Chinese takeout container, which I do miss in a sense. The graphics, that little metal bar on top of it.
Yep.
But those, you can't reuse those.
No.
And those are leaking like hell.
Yeah. And it's so wasteful. Do you think there's like a setup where it's like, I go to the restaurant, I have leftovers, you give me some high-end Tupperware, I take my meal home, and then it's like almost like a returning like pop bottles, where it's like I get a discount if I come back. Drop them off. Obviously, you guys will wash them or reuse them. Maybe you wash them in advance before you bring them back, whatever. And might be some there.
It's smart.
Gets me back in the restaurant.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be glass. Got to be glass, I think, if we're doing that.
Ooh, it'd have to be glass. Well, then that
Because then we're saying it's truly reusable.
So we're talking like Pyrex or something. Holy moly.
Well, we can't afford Pyrex. Well, Jesus Christ. You're not going to be, these aren't oven safe. Oh, maybe they will be oven safe. Who knows?
Yeah.
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 All right, next unpopular opinion. This is via Spencer KR. The fact that coffee tables require the use of coasters is a major design oversight. And Spencer writes, we're talking about a table which is named after the function of supporting cups of hot liquid. There are coatings which are beautiful and affordable and impervious to the heat and moisture that coffee cups bring. I actually like coasters. I think they make a great decorative element on a table. Mm-hmm. But I think that any coffee table that is ruined if someone misses the coaster is poorly designed. And for the record, yes, I respect wood. I believe that is a Curb Your Enthusiasm reference to when Larry David left a ring on the coffee table. Or someone did. Mm-hmm. He went around asking people if they respect wood. But this guy has gone even farther in saying, what the hell? Why is it even called a coffee table if you cannot put a cup of coffee on it? And I got to say, he makes a good point.
So he's saying there's like a sealant we can put on all things?
No, he's saying a glass coffee table, a metallic coffee table.
Oh, okay.
So just
he's
no
saying like
wood.
A classic, like calling, I think the most classic coffee table is a wood table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you cannot use that coffee table with a cup of coffee without an extra element. Be it coaster or saucer.
I mean, I have a marble coffee table, same thing. You can't. You shouldn't put like...
That gets rings on it?
Well, yeah. You can like the condensation can then ruin the marble.
Mm.
Right. Maybe there is a sealant for that, though.
That's what
Maybe the marble's too porous.
That's what I thought he was saying. I thought he was saying all coffee tables should be covered in this sealant that protects it from any sort of damage from water or coffee or whatever.
Well... I'm not sure that that's possible for wood. Well, I think wood is too permeable.
Okay, well, maybe it is. I don't know. Like, I'm sitting at a table here in the Classic Factory. Shout out to our guy, Wendell, winner of a Survivor season, also built this table. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. There's something on this, I believe, JD.
Yeah, it's...
That, like, I got a pop can here right now. No problems. Like, there's nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So when you guys have coffee or tea on there, are you using coasters?
No.
And it's not damaged whatsoever. So is this the type of wood? I think there's something on it, like a lacquer of some sort, a sealant. And if that is true, and we shall find out, then all coffee tables should have it.
Yeah. I think what should be normalized is rings on your coffee table.
Ooh, weathered.
Like, give it a little character.
Yeah, like a baseball bat that gets weathered or whatever. Like something that becomes... That the wear and tear of it is a sign of its sturdiness. It's a well-loved coffee table. Mm. It's completely covered in rings, especially in the areas that you're used to setting your coffee or your drink, your cold drink with the condensation. Yeah. That's what I think.
Also, isn't it ironic that a coaster, in protecting your table in theory from a ring of some sort, be it water, coffee, whatever, it probably actually... results in more spilled beverages, the coaster.
Yes, 100%. I agree with that.
People don't put it on correctly. the lip. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Guarantee. If the coaster is like, let's say, half an inch off the in thickness, then you could get, you know, but like a bar paper coaster.
You're unlikely having a bar paper coaster in your house. I mean, okay. Unless you're 19,
probably not.
I guess.
But okay, so I want to address this because someone on Reddit asked, you ask, why have a table for coffee if you still need a saucer? For similar reasons that we have dinner tables, but still use plates to hold our food and sometimes placemats to hold the plates instead of eating directly off the table. And I'm not really on Reddit, but I just want to say to this idiot, he's not talking about dumping the coffee
and then
on
slurping
his table
it up,
and then slurping it up like it's some fucking TikTok video where they like make nachos on a kitchen island just by spreading all the ingredients directly onto it. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned saucer. Bring back the saucer.
Well, great point, GD, because I was thinking, I'd never thought of it this way. The saucer is the OG coaster.
Totally.
Because the saucer was for the teacup or the, probably originally the teacup, actually, and later the coffee cup.
Yeah.
And then the coaster came along and was like, there's a hole in this market for a pint glass, a wine glass, you know what I mean? Yeah. A lowball, all the, a Nick and Nora, all these other type of glasswares that wouldn't fit on a saucer because the saucer has that tiny little hole in the middle. So it's really interesting when you think about it. It's probably one of the most interesting things. All right, Skeets, so you were talking earlier about Ryan Nanny, who we had on last week at Celebrity Hot Tub. And the main thrust of that show was it's summer, it's sweating. I'm sweating right now in here in my old apartment that I'm moving out of because the air conditioner's not on because JD will hire someone in Los Angeles to beat me to a pulp
if
the hum appears. I was asking him, is this a good summer activity? We covered some summer classics like flying a kite and skinny dipping and building sandcastles. There's a few left over, so I just want to ask you three, get your opinion. These are we're going a bit deeper on these ones.
Okay.
All right. Skipping stones on a lake. Is this a good summer activity?
It's like a stretch to call that an activity, you know?
Would you call it a diversion?
Yeah. And I think it's good. But it's not like we're not planning our day up at the lake for a couple hours of skipping stones. It's you're there. There's stones. There's a body of water. Let's get to work. Let's see who can get it up 10 plus if possible. And I love I love keeping track. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you look at the daily itinerary. It's like morning, shoulder stretch.
Yeah, yeah.
Afternoon, search for flat rocks.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And then late afternoon, we really get to skipping.
Yeah. But I do enjoy it for the 5 to 10 minutes that you do it for. So
I disagree.
What do you mean? How long?
When you have kids, it is an afternoon. That's an afternoon.
Oh,
you're looking for flat rocks. And then you're doing it for hours. Sometimes we've skipped stones for literally hours.
Wow. Before. Well, respect. Your shoulder and your arm, I'm sure, was a little sore. After
a little bit, but, you know, it's worth it.
Yeah. I do love when you try and, like, compete of, like, how many skips. And it's like, of course.
Can you ever count them right? I can never count
them. No, of course you can't because you, like, see the first couple and then it gets into the do-do-do-do-do-do-do and you're like, oh, that was four at the end. You're like, you have no idea if that was four.
Yeah, exactly. This is how everyone counts a stone skipping. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was 10. I think it was 10 right at the end. But I do enjoy it. I disagree with JD that it goes for hours, but you do have children and I'm sure they can amuse themselves for a while doing it.
I think it's fine. I often find that it's one of those things where I think I'm good at it. And then every time I do it, I am reminded I'm actually very bad at this,
right,
only to forget and then try to impress like my young nephew. But like we're at the lake and they seem bored and I'm like, hey, fella, why don't you come over here and let the old timer show you how you skip a stone? And then it's just like, and then I'm like, go through. So now what you want to do is you want to find a very flat rock. You want to kind of have it parallel to the, oh, fuck! As it just sinks, it goes once and sinks right to the bottom. All right, canoeing, Skeets. Is this a good summer activity? And what's your canoeing experience, if you don't mind telling
us? Not a lot. Handful of times. I don't love it. It's cumbersome. I mean, the canoe itself, it's a large vessel.
Yes.
You're generally going to probably need someone to do it with, which I guess. But I don't like it. There's so many other things I'd rather be doing on the water than canoeing.
Yeah.
Peaceful?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I get that,
yeah.
Obviously, with no motor or anything like that, but it feels like a lot of work.
It's awkward
yeah.
work,
awkward
too,
work,
because
yes.
you're leaning over, and if you don't know what you have to know what you're doing, you know, like
yeah.
steering a canoe is not it's not intuitive. It's not the easiest thing
right.
you can just step into.
You got to know your side stroke, your J stroke.
Your J stroke, yeah, all that stuff. What other strokes are there, Matt?
There's many.
Yeah.
Straight stroke.
Yeah.
Sweep
back
stroke.
Backstroke.
Did you
backstroke,
take like canoe lessons?
Breaststroke.
Or was this at camp or something, Matt?
We'd have to go, but JD's right. Like, that was my problem. I could never figure out how to keep the goddamn boat straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they would always shove me in the front. But the front is where, you know, you want the brute force to come in, because you're just chugging in that
yeah.
thing, right?
Yeah.
In the back is a sort of more skilled labor, right?
Yeah.
You're steering.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in the front, but I'm not a front guy. Like,
right.
JD has the arm width to be a front guy.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't mind being in the front. And, you know, you stick to one side. And you set the pace when you're in the front as well, which I like. You know?
Yeah, but don't you find that there's always one side that feels more natural to you?
Oh, yeah.
Totally, yeah.
And then just that arm is getting blown out?
Right, yeah.
You are reminding me that, I mean, I was thinking of canoeing as just like two people, you know, maybe whatever, to four, like your classic canoe.
Yes.
But I was a part in high school of the regatta team.
Okay.
Because we had a river in Stratford, and every, you know, I guess it would have been sort of spring, sort of summer, at the end of the school year, there would be like a regatta race, mm-hmm. battle, whatever. And it was like a big deal. Like, there were like professionals, and then anyway, schools would get involved, and like particular teams within the schools would put together squads, and you would practice. Like, we'd be out on the lake or river, excuse me, like mornings in weeks building up to it. And we had a bunch of shitheads in our boat, and we would always fall in. Like, it was becoming our thing. Like,
right.
none of the like professional like sort of coaches or whatever wanted to get in ours, because they're like, oh, we're just going to get dunked in because one of these jerks going to push each other and the whole thing's going to topple. So it happened a couple times. Anyway, we get to the race day, and they were like, I remember them adamantly saying to us, like, don't mess around. This is serious. Like, you know, race, like really race, like try yeah. your best. Like, you guys aren't probably going to win, whatever. And like, yeah, we're like, yeah, whatever. We got in our boat, and we were supposed to then paddle to the start, obviously, of the race. I want to say within 10 feet from leaving the shore at Tom Patterson Island, somebody started pushing, and like they were like, the person was screaming, like, no, don't. Sure enough, the whole thing goes toppling over. There's like 20 people.
So this is like
things.
Canoe, like,
yeah, like a long,
like a
giant
war canoe.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
See,
like,
I thought you were describing like a row, like a Winklevoss twins on the
No,
River,
I'm talking like a canoe,
yeah.
but like 10 people
oh,
on each
side. Oh, a dragon boat sometimes.
Yeah, dragon boat. That's what I was thinking for. Yeah,
yes.
And dragon boat races, exactly. So we called it regatta. Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's regatta.
Oh, okay.
I think
yeah.
the regatta is the general like tournament.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And anyway, we go toppling, and they were furious with us. Like, but it looked hilarious because we had just gotten in the boat. And these were like, you know, everybody had been training for weeks. And so we never ended up racing. We just got out and
wow.
dragged our boat back out. And they're like, you're done. Get out of here. They're like, oh,
you're done, kids.
Yeah. There's actually, I'll have to find the photo. Maybe you've seen it. There's a photo I'm like with my buddy Gresh, Dub, Kieran, and Brody. And we're like standing in front of like a jumping castle, like a blow up castle for kids or whatever. Like those.
Yeah, yeah, inflatable.
But we're all soaked because we've been in the water, and we were just like, we're set up like a boy band. Have you seen this photo?
I know.
Yeah, it's like one of my favorite photos of all time. Like, somebody snapped it in high school, like on their old like digital camera or whatever.
So it was right after the
it's
dragon
right
boat.
After we had yeah. fallen in, because we're all like just drenched, and we look like this weird like either rock band or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, canoeing down on.
Well, to defend canoeing, I'll say the one thing that's good about it is it's fun to say portage.
That is.
Yes, and that is the picking up of the canoe and
yeah, that's
walking.
The carrying of the canoe.
Yeah.
When you're like, oh, yes, there is still water there, but we cannot paddle it. So we will paddle it to shore and then pick it up over our heads.
And that's why I'm more team kayak than...
Right.
Oh, kayak's taking over the canoe.
It makes sense. It's just...
You only need one person?
Yeah, it's just lighter, yeah.
It's more maneuverable. Yep. It's more fun.
It's more fun, yeah.
There's more ocean kayaking. You don't really see canoes in an ocean very much, I don't think.
No.
They're too tippy.
Yeah.
Be careful in the ocean now, man. We got the orcas are upset. Yeah. There's an otter in San Francisco that's biting people's surfboards.
Really?
Wow.
Every third reel I see is like a drone shot of a shore, and there's people just splishing and splashing around in the water, and you see a shark like come and swim right between them, and they never even know.
Oh, yeah, I saw the Undertaker is fighting a shark WrestleMania 45 coming up. Did you see that clip, Matt?
No, I don't understand.
Undertaker and his wife are at some beach, and a shark appears in shallow water, and the Undertaker, I guess, just stares at him.
Yeah, staring at him. staring down a shark.
What do you mean? Who's filming it?
The wife.
The wife.
Yeah.
And she's in it. She's just like a selfie.
Did you think I was going to say Paul Bearer was filming it? Or Kane?
The Hanover shark! These are my top five favorite sharks. Mako, number five.
Paul Bearer on Shark Week.
Third summer activity I have to ask you about, Skeets.
Yeah.
Disc golf. Is this a good summer activity?
I can't answer this. I've never done it.
Same.
Oh my God, you seem like a person that would have played 10 rounds already.
You look like you just walked off the
I do appear to have a disc golf vibe going on right now. What's semi-interesting is in a park right by our house, I would say in the last year, they installed a disc golf course.
Yeah.
It was so confusing at first because I didn't see the disc golf like... I don't know what you call them, holes, but they're above ground. The nets? Maybe nets.
Yeah, they're a bit of an eyesore, I will say. They're a metal pole with metal sort of fancy meshing.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Or chain meshing.
Chain mesh, yeah. And I didn't really see them. And I just remember like one day, because I would always walk Luna there, and I continue to. And I just remember seeing like so many like people with Frisbees. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of, some people are into Frisbee. and then obviously you start seeing these nets. So it's like set up. I don't mind it though. It's made this park, which was, let's be honest, pretty run down and pretty scary
times.
Oh. It's made it a lot more livelier, and it even feels like because there's just people now on it. So I like that part of it.
Yeah.
You know, so they were literally like, if we want to get more white people out here, we have to...
I think that's what they did.
This golf course.
I think that's exactly what they did. And it was... there's also basketball courts, and there's like a children's playground area. And it's like, it's getting better. But I got no issues with it. So I see them all the time. Like, I go down there. I walk. So I do feel guilty at times. Like, I'm sort of walking through their course.
Hmm.
Like some of... But, I'm like...
But it's public.
It's public.
Yeah.
And I've got Luna. So it's like, I'm going through here. Like, they don't care. They no one's cared. Because I feel a lot of people that play disc golf, they take their dogs with them.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd think that dogs would chase the Frisbee. That's a classic.
These are good
dogs. It's a smaller Frisbee, JD, in disc golf, okay?
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. It's much smaller. And they have a bunch of them. I don't know if they almost have, like, as if they were using, like, different, irons and woods, like you were golfing. Like, I think some of them are like, this is the one you use off the tee.
Pass me my 8 gram.
Interesting.
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it is an official one.
Really?
Frisbee.
Oh.
Yeah, I do think so.
Oh, okay. Huh. I have disc golfed once before. I just remembered. Thody's bachelor trip in beautiful British Columbia. We were on an island.
Yeah.
It was the most incredible course of all time. Like in this wooden island. I mean, I don't even know where we were. It was maybe Salt Spring Island or something like that. It was gorgeous. It was fun. It was like a bunch of people that never played before.
Right.
So it was sort of like, pretty fair. But that was the only time I ever played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd be excruciatingly bad at it. Like, I suck at a Frisbee.
Oh, well.
You have to be already really good at Frisbee.
Yeah.
You're not good at Frisbee?
Not really.
Why would we be good at Frisbee? We're not dorks.
I mean, I can throw a Frisbee, though.
Can you throw it forehand?
Yeah, I can do both.
Can you throw a hammer?
Yeah, that's easy. Yeah,
you're a dork.
Like this?
Yeah. Yeah, hammer over top, then spins. Can you skip it sometimes?
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah. What happened to froth is what I want to know.
Isn't that
That's what
disc
it is.
Golf?
That's disc golf.
I know, but no one calls it frothing.
Well, you want to talk about dorky. I mean,
sounds stupid.
You want to go frothing?
Yeah, but the kind of people that play disc golf are the kind of people that would call it froth. And by the way, I'm not even coming for ultimate frisbee players. That's fine in my book. It's also a little bit dorky, but at least that's cool. You're running, you're throwing, you're making passes, you're competing. Mm. Well, I guess you are competing in disc golf, but
yeah.
I don't know. I don't like it.
Okay. I think it looks... I'm going to try
it's
it.
It's fine. You
won't find me on the froth course this summer.
You like walking in the park. It's basically... That's what
all they
doing.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like walking in the woods trying to find the fucking frisbee.
Oh, you must be really bad at throwing it then.
Oh, I'm shanking it. I'm shanking it.
I think your problem is there's just not enough gear to purchase for
Yeah, that's
froth.
True.
Just the, it's the disc and that's it.
Well, according to Skeets, I have like a caddy size.
Well, that's the thing. They all walk around with like knapsacks with a bunch of discs in them. I'm telling you, man.
Fascinating.
I know. I don't. Maybe they're all the same, or maybe they're just trying different ones. I don't know. But yeah. They're always swapping them in and out. So there's something going on.
I wonder if it's like, you know, a par five. You would have to use the same disc the whole time.
Why? I throw the one, it lands, and then I walk up to it, and like golf, I take out a different club and use it. That's what I thought was going
on. I'm telling you it's the same. I'll Google it, but I think it's more like when someone comes to the court to play tennis, like a professional person, they have like five rackets, but it's all the same racket.
Okay.
Well, why are they switching then? I don't get that part. Maybe they get dirty or something? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't even know what to Google. Are there different kinds of discs in disc golf?
I am going to ask the next disc golfer I see down at my local park, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get in. I'm going to play around with these guys.
All right. Well, I won't be joining you.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
There's only one thing left to do, Skeets, and that's play subjective trivia. Yes, subjective trivia. It's just like regular trivia, except only I know the answer. If you've been listening to the show, you know that I'm in the process of moving. It's been a very long process, longer than the average move because of various issues. Not going to get into it all again. But my question for you, Skeets, is what is the worst part about moving?
Oh.
And I will preface this by saying this is a paid move. So in other words, I'm 41 years old. I don't know three people that can take off work and I can give pizza to in exchange for giving them a crippling back injury.
Yeah, okay?
So I'm hiring people to do this. But JD, if you could please put up the slide. Here are your options for the worst part about moving. Five options. The pre-pack. So this is like buying boxes, buying paper, bubble wrap, tape, supplies, anything like that. Culling, I said that weird. Culling, which is like throwing things away, gathering things to donate, putting them in your trunk to take to Goodwill, forgetting they're there for 6 months. Packing, of course, packing. We all know what that is. That's boxing things up. That's taping the boxes, preparing the boxes, labeling. Then we got logistics. That's hiring people, booking the elevator, figuring out the parking. And then, of course, unpacking. So your stuff is in your new place, and this is taking the stuff out of the box and putting it where it's going to be going. So five options there, Skeets. Pre-pack, culling, packing, logistics, or unpacking. What do you think is the worst part of moving? I have my answer written right here. And as always, you are trying to match up with my answer. And as always, feel free to discuss with JD.
Yeah, this is a tough one, JD.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how he feels about the unpacking. To me, best part. Matty-O, I'm not so sure.
Right, right.
Is that weird? Because, like, I love it because it's like, you know, you're starting new. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this.
But there are people that still have boxes that have been, that are still packed.
Yeah, but that's like, how are you when you come home from a trip? Does your suitcase sit there for days? Or is it, like, unpacked within 10 minutes of you
Me,
walking in the door?
I'm unpacked immediately.
So do I. So but, I'm saying those boxes are not going to remain unpacked unless they're like classic, like put in the attic or put in the crawl space. Like they're like Christmas decorations.
Yeah,
or something.
Exactly.
So to start, you're saying unpacking is the best part of it.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think logistics is going to be the worst. I know we're looking for the worst here, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you started saying the whole elevator and the parking or the parking, like I started like clamming up a little bit because that does give me some anxiety, but you said you're hiring someone, so it's like that's sort of part of their job in a way. I know you gotta play like you gotta work with them, but
it's their job to book the elevator.
No, but you know what I mean, like they're gonna figure it out.
You book it, but they deal with it.
Yeah.
I think you deal with it. If your building's like, oh, you booked the elevator, but then we didn't know you meant the or like the freight elevator is the one you have to use, and that's the one you have to book, and it's being used by this person from 10 to 12, and that's the hours that you have your booking.
All right, is just he tipping saying, his just, hand here a little just, bit?
No,
maybe?
He might be tipping. I don't think so, though. I see. Okay, what's your worst, JD? To me, it's packing.
Packing for me.
Packing.
It's not even close.
It's the one you're going to put off the longest.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I love the getting rid of shit. I mean, I live for that.
Culling. Culling?
Let's cull away, baby. I've never even heard of that word.
There's probably a way better word.
Purging, maybe?
Purging. Yeah. So I think it's packing.
I think it's packing, too. I feel like Matt would be the same. Like the rest of this stuff is the fun part of moving.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to go packing.
Answer.
We're going packing.
Is the worst part of moving is packing. Wish I could be as naive as you guys. The worst part of moving is logistics.
Oh, he did tip his hand. Oh, what? This guy's lived in too many...
Go back to my single, JD. I'd like to rip this Letterman style.
Logistics.
Okay. I'll tell you why.
Why?
The logistics are the part that you have the least control over, and therefore it is the most stressful. If you know you're moving, you could take all the time you want to pack. Maybe you put it off, but you know that as long as you are there in your apartment, that's all you need. And if you've done the pre-pack correctly, you have the boxes, that part's fine. You can be listening to a podcast. Maybe someone's listening to this podcast right now and moving. Mm-hmm. Totally fine. Mm-hmm. Researching people to hire, dealing with these movers, usually ornery people. Usually they're always complaining about something that you didn't tell them, like, oh, there's a door here? Like, yeah, I don't know. It's an apartment, man.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
They're complaining about the corner in the hallways is too big for the couch. Booking the elevator. You didn't book it far enough in advance, and now they're telling you that the elevator's full.
That one
or
sucks.
They have a delivery that day. Then you got to talk about the elevator in your new place. Or maybe your new place has stairs and now they're complaining about the stairs. Where can they park the truck? Now you didn't get the right parking permit for the truck and now people are honking. And then that part is just the most stressful part to me. And that is the part that I'm about to deal with on Friday.
But you could get lucky. I have had fantastic moving people experiences.
Same.
Like you get the right people. Then you're like this. Then you're definitely like, well, I'm never doing it myself ever again, right, for sure. And this was good. And they handled it all. And they were like, I saw a guy, you know where I used to live in Atlanta, third story, no elevator, but, you know, quite high, big loft sort of apartment. these guys were picking up my couch, one man, yeah, and walking it down these three flights of stairs. It was, I couldn't believe it.
It's very emasculating.
It was incredible.
Very, asterisk and obelisk style.
It was, and I'm like, you know, I'm doing the, do you need help? And he's like, no, it's actually easier. This is easier, yeah, than two guys doing it.
Yeah.
And he's then they got it balanced on his shoulder. And
they've got the strap. Like some guys use the strap and they it's like just exercises in physics. You know? Like they just know what they're doing. It's amazing.
And I say this, I'm an excellent mover.
I believe
I put it on my resume. I've moved a lot of my friends before. I'm a great mover. You're right. Angles.
Yes.
Obviously speed. Fatigue is not an issue. Let's go. Don't worry about pizza. Don't worry about beer. We're going to celebrate after. We're going to get this done. But yeah, then there's these next level pros. Ugh. I'm an amateur compared to them.
It's amazing.
So you want to fly down and move my shit?
How much pizza are we talking?
If you fly over here to move my shit, I'll shave my left eyebrow.
Oh, what a bet that is. So it's actually going to cost me money, though. I got to fly there. I wonder if I have
get
the points.
3 months of Matt with one eyebrow. That'd be cool.
But I got to help him move.
There is that.
Yeah.
All right, Skeesy, thanks for kicking off the summer of dunks. Anything you want to direct people to?
No. You know, we got the No Dunks content still coming. Slows down a little bit, obviously, in the summer. But make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube, wherever you download and listen to podcasts. I encourage you to do the same with Is This Good? And yeah, we'll have some like fun, you know, sort of like, you know, we just did a squad episode. We'll probably have more of those, some beach step in, just some more sillier NBA-ish content on No Dunks.
Okay, and this is silly non-NBA content.
Well, some of it, yeah. It's always like a tiny bit NBA adjacent.
Yeah.
But yeah. Nobody cares.
Well, I'm excited to be here again. Remember to check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/isthisgood. Sign up for the free trial at the great or goat category if you want to come to this week's live stream hangout, or in the good category if you want to listen to last week's The Great Beyond, which was a great show where you can hear the genesis of some of the things we talked about on this show. If you have topics, email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Rate us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube. Thanks for listening. Thanks to JD. Thanks to Skeets for coming on. Thanks in advance for leaving a 5-star review. For everyone, I'm Matt Austin, and this was Good. See you next week.